The local theater community was stunned this week to learn of the death of Agnes Wilcox. She was revered for her work with Prison Performing Arts, or PPA, of which she was founder and artistic director. PPA brought theater to incarcerated men and women. And joining me to remember Agnes Wilcox are her successor at PPA, Christopher Limber, director of adult prison programs, I should say. He joins us for a few minutes by phone. Chris, are you there?
Hi, John.
Good to have you with us. Just hang in there for a second. William
sure.
Roth is founder and artistic director at the St. Louis Actors Studio. He's been associated with Agnes Wilcox since her early St. Louis theater days. Chris Harris is a PPA board member and alumnus who was in the program while he was incarcerated. Gentlemen, I'll ask each of you the same question, starting with you, Chris Limber. Give me your most prominent recollection of Agnes Wilcox.
Well, I have a lot of memories of her talking to the audience. That was her favorite part of a prison performing arts performance. She would begin the question and answer by saying, and this is my favorite part of the performance, a chance to talk to the audience and for us to have a conversation. And that stands out to me because Agnes was incredibly charming and smart, and she was able to invite conversation, which is the most important part of the work of PPA, to create a conversation between incarcerated persons and persons who are not, and that way promote understanding and transformation within our community.
Well, I know all of you were certainly shocked by her death, untimely, certainly, earlier this week. William Roth, your recollection?
I would say my recollection of Agnes is just her presence in the theater community as a whole. I mean, as I started out as an actor before I had my own theater company, there were few opportunities on the professional scale for actors in St. Louis back in the late 80s and early 90s. And there were a handful of theater companies that you really were the pinnacle of what you thought you could aspire to. And the New Theater, which was her theater for 13 years or so, was one of those theater companies where you just hoped that you'd get a chance to affiliate yourself with them at some point. And Agnes, over the years, starting then when I first met her and through the years as I was a board member at PPA for a while and helped her out past PPA as my theater company would offer her help as a fiscal partner for some of the other things that she wanted to accomplish after she left PPA, is just that Agnes, in this business of theater, a lot of us while, you know, when you're an actor and it's a performance, there's a fair amount of self-serving and actors wanting to be center stage. With Agnes, it was always her product and her striving for social justice and the things that she did that were always out and in front of her. And she was always kind of the conscience of the theater company for me, or theater community for me. And I would reach out to her, and she would reach out to me if I was doing things that she thought were commendable. If it was a female playwright that we were featuring in one of our seasons, I would always get a note or a phone call, or she'd show up in the audience and voice her approval of what was going on.
Chris Harris?
Well, anybody that knew Agnes knew that she was a ball of energy, positive energy. My strongest recollection of Agnes is how she was able to reach us on a very personal level and see the good in us there and the potential. When I first met Agnes, I was in prison. Prison is an environment that is at best negative. And she came in looking at us, looking at me as though she appreciated me. It wasn't what had brought me to prison, but the fact that she appreciated me helped me to open up and to expand my possibilities. That was in 2001. It's 2017. And since then, I've been a part of PPA in some level since, and I still intend to. Her message of continuing to self-develop and improve is something that has touched so many lives, and it's an ongoing thing, a very powerful thing. Right. Agnes had an ability to look at you and to appreciate you and to work with you.
Were you at all suspicious of her and what she was trying to do when you and she first came into contact?
No. I had the good fortune to have a very good friend of mine. His name is Manuel Johnson. He's no longer with us. He talked about PPA with me. He lobbied, and I've said this many times before, for about a year. So when I met her, his description of her still did not do her justice. Because this little bitty lady was moving all around this large room, interacting with everybody. And just the energy and the positive flow from her told me that I'm in the right place. I want to be a part of this.
There are a lot of false prophets out there, and Agnes was not one of them, that's for sure. She was one of the few people in your life that when the phone rang or she sent you an email that said, hey, I want to talk to you about something, you knew it was going to be beyond the norm and exciting to be a part of.
Let me turn back to Chris Limmer now. He has to leave us momentarily. Chris, you're in prison now at the Northeast Correctional Center in Bowling Green, right?
Well, I'm stopped on the side of the road. Oh. I'm about 10 minutes out, I'm on my way to meet with the gentleman there in the afternoon and the evening. We're working on Julius Caesar.
And Chris Harris, you're reacting to that. Like, yes. Is it something you've done or would like to do?
I've done that, yes. Uh-huh. Right there at Bowling Green, right. Yes.
How long does it take, Chris Limmer, to set one of these things up?
Performance, it kind of works on a semester system. Agnes created a wonderful program that would work in the fall, in the winter, and the summer. And each of those about 15-week sessions would produce an act of theater. So, for example, her very first production of Hamlet, all five acts got a semester dedication. And that gives you about a 50-minute performance and enough time then to celebrate the performance with the question and answer and also a party for members of family members of the incarcerated gentlemen that are in the play, which is a very special part of the process of doing a play within prison.
Yeah, and the selection of the plays that you do, I think, generally seem to have very much very significant relevance to the audiences that you're facing.
Shakespeare is a rich territory to talk about. All sorts of issues that are very relevant to incarcerated individuals, vengeance, guilt, life and death, making decisions about your life, all of those things resonate. And then you can talk about them from the point of view of a character and their journey. And we've recently begun to also bring playwrights into this so that we can do workshops and capture stories and reflect some of the men and women that we are working with too. So that's very exciting.
Well, I know you're eager to get on to your destination. We thank you for spending a couple of moments with us to remember Agnes Wilcox. Have a safe journey.
Thank you, Don, very much. She was very, very special, and her will carry on. And we really appreciate your time.
Right. And same here. Thank you for being with us. Chris, let me come back to you with regard to the relevance of the programs that you did and that she did. How did they impact you? Well, Hamlet, for instance, is a story that could relate very, very clearly to a prison audience.
True. Yeah. The plays that she picked, in particular, William Shakespeare's most famous plays, they impacted us because we were able to actually learn about the time, learn about who William Shakespeare really was, and this was a person who made his living writing about present day events, people, and all their qualities, the good, the not so good, and the very dark. All those are relative to any of us today. It allowed us to gain an appreciation for his writing, for his savvy, for past times, and also to appreciate one another. Chris Limber had mentioned that she put together curriculum. And understand something, when you're in prison, you don't, myself and William can see each other every day for years, but never talk. But when we all decide to sign up for PPA, right now we're all together. And the first thing that Agnes encourages us to do is to set aside our facades and to get to know each other on the real and to appreciate each other. So there's a sense of community, a sense of follow through, completing, troubleshooting, problem solving, and finishing something together. These are the things that you want in people who are going to be coming back to society.
Sure.
We didn't see them as those precepts then, but it's afterward where you realize, hey, you know something? This is something special.
Yeah. William, what motivated her to do this particular kind of work? I mean, she was in, I don't want to say legitimate theater, but she was in the theater long before she got into the PPA business.
Yes, but it was always on her mind. I mean, I do believe that all of the performances, all the shows that she did at the New Theater, and the New Theater didn't really have a home, so they would move around from venue to venue. But there was always a performance that she would take into the prisons, if not every show, almost every show. Mm-hmm. So if you were cast in a show of hers, you would do maybe an act of it, maybe not the whole performance. Mm-hmm. So she understood early on how theater, and we all understand. I mean, when you look at an audience, you can transform audiences whether in prison or not. So she understood what theater could do for prison inmates in maybe helping their time there and beyond through theater. And because of how Chris so eloquently put it, what Shakespeare does and how he relates. And there's a million parts within a Shakespeare play, so you can include more inmates than you could in a contemporary play. But I think it was always on her mind. And certainly what's most incredible, I think, about Agnes is that PPA would be a life's work, would be something that you could be known for in and of itself. But and so could your own theater company. So she had her own theater company, and that could have been enough. She had PPA, that certainly could have been enough. But even beyond that, she was working on Theater of the Seeing Eye, where she was taking former inmates and homeless veterans and figuring out how theater would transform them through interactive performances with the Pulitzer Foundation at the art museums. And so an incredibly creative mind as well. Just an incredible person.
Yeah. I thought you were going to add something, Chris.
She's just very giving, but he's right. She constantly was finding ways to include everybody. Mm-hmm. What we really liked while I was in prison is bringing actresses and actors from the outside to work with us. It really restored one's hope that I can come back out and become part of a productive society. I can be productive. Those things, and I know I keep harping on it, but that's very important to people.
More than just a break in prison routine.
Yes.
Much more than that.
And this is a proven entity. I mean, we vacationed in Italy this summer, and we were in southern Italy, my wife and kids, and our good friend of ours works in a prison there and was through theater, was doing the same things. And she's only about 2 or 3 years into it. So what Agnes was on the forefront of is stretching beyond just St. Louis and the prisons here.
We have a couple of callers who certainly had a relationship with Agnes Wilcox, about whom we're talking today. Let's begin with Deanna Gent of Webster Groves, longtime friend of Agnes's, as I understand it, Deanna.
Hi, Don. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I met Agnes about 20 years ago, and one of the first things she said to me that was something like, life without art would be cruel and unusual punishment. And she was so, as has been said, she combined activism and art in a way that I had never really encountered up to that point. And so it was exciting. I teach at Fompon University, and we partnered so that some of her students in PPA could get some college credits. And I have learned so much from her. The other thing I want to say is that we had the pleasure to work with her as an actress again. She kind of came back around to her beginnings last year, she worked with us in a production called The Bosnian American Dance for Life, which we created with members of the Bosnian American community. And she just had such insatiable curiosity about every person she met. It was amazing. So those are my memories of Agnes.
Well, we appreciate your calling, Deanna, and sharing these couple of moments with us. One of the things I know about her, I only met her during the course of one of our programs here, and is that she was very, very willing to give credit to everybody else and not take it for herself. As a matter of fact, she appeared on the show in January of 2016, a week before she received the Arts and Education Council's Lifetime Achievement Award. And this was her response to my question, what does this award mean to you?
It means that I owe so many people so much, whether it was the people with whom I was working or the people I was working beside or the people who supported my work in so many ways. I owe this community big time.
William Roth, you said earlier in the program that sometimes people in the theater tend to think pretty much of themselves. This is an obvious exception.
That's exactly right. And in everything she did, I mean, she was you know, a lot of times when you run a theater company, you'll get dissenting opinions on what you're doing. And a lot of people call you up and give you some negative feedback. You don't do enough of this, or there's not enough of this sort of gender. Or there's not enough of this sort of race. She would always, I would reach out to her on a fair amount when I've been, if I'm planning a season of all female playwrights or whatever I'm doing. And her encouragement, her input always came from a base of encouragement and never, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. It was, oh, wouldn't it be great if this happened or that happened, and here's how I can help you.
Yeah. We have another caller who has an association with Agnes Wilcox. Jerry McAdams is calling from St. Louis. Jerry, thank you for calling, and you apparently taught with her at in some of her prison work, correct?
Yes, thanks for having me on. Agnes and I, and then Chris, but Agnes and I worked at Pacific, which is one of the prisons, and I think one of the things I would add to this was Agnes's willingness to take input from everyone. And we moved from doing plays to the inmates writing their own material based on their own experience, and we had this incredible amount of creative work coming from guys who may have been in for 3 years, 45 years, the poetry, personal stories that we would integrate sometimes with established work like Shakespeare, but most of the time it was Agnes's ability to pull these stories out of these guys who were often very guarded and make it a part of a team, of a full presentation. And I can't tell you, it's my fifth or sixth year doing this, but I learned more about trusting these people and understanding that they are real human beings and deserve to be honest. And that is a real contribution to my life and to the life of hundreds of inmates and probably everybody who worked with her.
Thank you, Jerry, for sharing that with us and for giving us a call. We appreciate it. Chris Harris is nodding as you speak here because he's obviously relating to it. Chris, let me ask you the kind of change, maybe you have an example, the kind of change you might have seen in some of the hardened personalities you might have been incarcerated with who were changed by this program.
Well, I have a number of examples. I spent over 25 years in prison, almost 26. So I've gotten to know a lot of people and a number of people came, and they were skeptics. But when they saw that what Agnes was doing was genuine, those walls started to come down. And what you saw, it was people that had feelings and thoughts, that had compassion, that opened themselves up to new ideals, to new relationships and friendships, who stopped doing some of the things that they were known for, and begin doing more productive things. And I think that's what's key with the theme of PPA, is that you can be something far better. And it just starts there. It doesn't have to end. And I think that's what a lot of people walk away from with shall I say, is that sense that, you know, I can be better, and I can be better right now, right here.
Only 30 seconds left. William, what would the theater world in St. Louis have been like without her?
Oh, I think you can talk to anybody that of us that have been around from the 80s on that would not be the same without Agnes. I mean, the opportunities for collaboration, the leadership, like I said, there were only a few of us out there that were stalwarts of them out there. I wouldn't include myself, but stalwarts in the theater community, that there'd be no new theater. I mean, that cleared the way for so many of us that are now Equity Theaters. There'd be no Prison Performing Arts. There'd be no Theater of the Seeing Eye. She was a writer and a collaborator and mentor. I mean, I'm sure you could open your phone lines for weeks and hear about all of the impact that Agnes had.
All righty. Well, I want to thank you both, William Roth, for being with us in studio today. And Chris Harris, thank you so much for being with us and sharing what you have. And, of course, our thanks to Christopher Limber, who was with us earlier. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.